handed an invention, you know, you didn't know what to do with. I was handed that invention at 6:30 this morning when Steve called and said, I'm in the ER with stomach trouble. Can you take the class? So anyway, we'll see if we can get through this session of, and maybe we can do it justice this morning as we talk about conforming to the image of his son. I don't know any more than that about Steve at this point. I hope to find out later on, but Wayne Holt is going to, he was called 10 minutes before I was, so he get the lesson ready to preach. So we're kind of in a tight this morning. We just do what we can, though. All right, we talked about, if you remember, the God's eternal intention for his people, for his children. And he predestined us to adoption as sons. And that's Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 4, tells us that just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. So he predestined us from the beginning of time to be his children. And we looked at also conforming to the image of his son in Romans 8 and verse 28. I guess I can catch y'all up here. If I get behind, don't worry, it's still there. But we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We quote that passage quite a bit, but as he goes on to the next verse and says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are to be conformed like Christ, to be like him. That's the whole intent of us being here, to be like his son. Why was that? To be like him as a what? What is he? What was Christ? He was the son of God. What does he want us to be? Adopted sons of God. It's exactly right. And as we look at, he talked about his family resemblance Wednesday night, and talking about his grandson, it didn't look like him, thankfully. But, you know, those are the kind of things that we look at in resemblance of our children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren. And all of mine look just like me, of course. And they're all girls, you know, so bless their hearts. That ain't going to work at all. I can just see them going out on a date looking like me. So anyway, but family resemblance. We want to be like Christ. And how do we do that? How do we be like Christ? We know, we got to know him. That's right, Pete. We have to know him, and not only know him, but to know how he acted when he was here. And how we find that out? Right in the scriptures. Exactly right. We look at the scripture and it tells us exactly what kind of person he was while he was here and how he acted.
He also tells us what he wants us to be.
And you're right. He tells us what he wants us to be. To be in a resemblance like him. We don't have a literal portrait of Christ. If I ask you to raise your hand, if you have seen an image or a picture of Christ, I imagine everybody in here would raise their hand. But that's just some artist's rendition, what they thought. They thought his hair came down to here and who knows, you know, what all, beards and mustaches. I don't, you know, we don't know. He wasn't interested in that, us looking like his physical person. What is he wanting? He wants us to be like his spiritual self, to be a part of him that he could take us to God at the end and present us to the Father. We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, beginning in verse 25. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What did we learn that baptism was a form of? What did it symbolize? The resurrection. Yeah, that's exactly right. It doesn't mean that we're going to be put down in the water and be all clean physically when we come up. We're looking at the spiritual side of us. I mentioned the importance, and Steve did, the importance of baptism when you were raised to walk in newness of life. And the fact is, so many people don't conform to that. They do not think that you have to be baptized. Well, what's the scripture say? Well, it says to be baptized. And, you know, I think of a man named Naaman. He went to the Jordan River reluctantly, and he was told to dip in the Jordan 7 times. This is not a baptism by any means, but he did it being inspired to go by some of his servants, and he went and he dipped 7 times. When he came up the 7th time, what happened? He was clean. What if he had just stopped after 6? He probably wouldn't have been clean. But he was cleaned of his leprosy by obeying what God said. Same thing is happening when we are baptized into Christ. We are obeying what he tells us to do. And as we continue a little bit further, we find that as newborn child of God is not yet all that God has begotten him to be. He has put on Christ. So there's a beginning point. And we learn in Ephesians 4 and verse 13, till we come to the unity of the faith. And I'm sure I'm way behind. I'm sorry. And we're not going to look at everything on this. As we come, Ephesians 4:13, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We want to do our very best to resemble him in every way. And to do that, we got to know the scripture, know how he was, and be able to conform to that. And that helps us to ward off temptation that might come our way. Does that mean we won't ever be tempted? No. We'll be tempted. Christ was tempted, yet he did it. He was without sin. And so we have to keep that in mind. In the word formed in Galatians 4:19 is translated from a Greek word, which we get it in English, morphed. My little children, Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's that metamorphosis that Steve talked about, like butterflies that are transformed and so forth. As we want to be transformed to the image of His dear Son. We want to be like Christ. And to be able to do that, we've got to make a change, right? That's what the butterfly has to do. It has to make a change from its worm form to a cocoon and then come out of that and be able to be a beautiful butterfly. Paul hoped that his example would serve as a model for the Galatians and for us. He declares, "I have been crucified with Christ, which is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And that's what Galatians, the 20th and 21st verse, 2:20 and 21, I'll get it in a minute. All right, and as we look further, and Paul didn't want us to be exactly like him. He only wanted us to be like him as long as what? As he was like Christ, yeah. And so by copying is another part that he went over a little bit in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter and verse 49. Y'all have to excuse me, I'm kind of slow. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We're going to be like him when we are raised. We're not going in this old body. Why? This body is corruptible. We don't go in, and nothing in heaven will be corruptible. And so we will be changed. And how long does it take us to change, we're told? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed and we'll be like him. And we will meet him in the air. As Christians, we must put on a new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created us, Colossians 3 and verse 10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And as we continue going, this is kind of going over what Steve did to kind of bring us up to speed to where we get to for today's lesson. We are to grow in knowledge of him. And that doesn't just come real easily. We have to work at it. In 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. In Luke 6, in verse 40, we should be trained. We'll be like him as a teacher. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. You know, I taught for 35 years, and I'm not sure any of my kids' students look like me, you know. But I trained them in a specific way for them to be able to do welding for life. And some did well. Some really worked at it, and they went in and did really well at it. Matter of fact, they made a lot more money than I did, which is not uncommon for teachers. Those who are teachers understand that. So, but as Ephesians, the first chapter, fifth chapter in verse 1 says, teach us to become imitators, or mimic our Lord. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, we're told. Now, as we come to the section that Steve kind of wanted us to begin with, and maybe we'll make it this morning, I don't know. Transformation through trial. Christ is our perfect example. He suffered even though he never said or did anything wrong. He left us an example that we should follow him in his steps. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth." That's the kind of person we need to strive to be. Does that mean we're going to attain that? No, we won't. As hard as we try, we still will probably fail. And yet we can't give up. And some people have done that. I can't do that. There's no need even trying. And they give up on themselves when, if they would look to Christ and use him as an example to go to and to be like, that is the way that we have to look at it. As the one who transforms us into sons of God and leads us to our heavenly home, Christ suffered. In Hebrews, the second chapter and verse 10, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." We want to be like him, bringing many sons to glory. We want to be in that number when that time comes, to be transformed as one of God's sons as this life ends and is over. But we can be perfected through sufferings. And he talked a little bit about that Wednesday night, that if we're going to be Christians and we're going to stand for what's right, what's going to happen? We're going to suffer, aren't we? There's a lot of things that we'll miss out on that we just can't do. And yet, so many times, we feel like that we just can't make it. We're having to suffer too much. And yet, when we look at what Christ had to suffer, it's very minimal what kind of suffering that we have to go through here. Yes?
If we're not faithful, we'll suffer not only in this life, but in the
eternal. Right. If we're not faithful, we'll suffer not necessarily this life, but we will in that life to come. And sometimes we even suffer in this life as well because of deeds that we've done, and we have to suffer the consequences here as well as in the days ahead when we stand before our Maker. No normal person wants to suffer. There's just very few people that will want to do that. Jesus didn't want to suffer. And the reason he asked that the cup might be passed from him, if it was the Lord's will, if God's will. And it wasn't his will. So he had to suffer, and we have to keep that in mind. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. When you take up your cross, what is taking up a cross? Very few people that I know of have I ever seen. There's been a few, I'll have to admit, who were walking down the road pulling a cross, but it had wheels on it or something to that effect. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about bearing the cross of Christ, teaching others, spending your time helping others to understand the word, to bring them to Christ. he's got a little poem in his book. "I took up my cross to follow the Lord. I followed him for a day. As the next day dawned, the Lord had moved on. And I did not know the way. The cross I had borne at yesterday's morn seemed lonely to say. To go after him, you must bear me again and again and again each day. So we must tell others about Christ. Spend that time while we are here on earth to help all we can to go to heaven. No one can fully know Christ or imitate him until he knows the fellowship of his sufferings. Philippians 3 and verse 10 and 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Actually, or acting. He brings that up to us. Are we actually, is it actually, or are we just acting? Hypocrites. Is an actor or a pretender. Matthew, the 23rd chapter and verse 27. Excuse me. Here we find Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees when he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." We can make things outside really look pretty. And there are many houses and places that outside are immaculate. And you walk inside and it's just trash. That's not my house. But there are places like that, and they can make it pretty as they want to outside, but if you got to live on the inside part and it's just trash, it's sad that people have to live like that. But we actually, as children, we all learn to act and play roles. Some people, when they were growing up, wanted to be like Batman, he mentions. It never entered my mind to be like Batman. I don't know why, but I just never did feel that role. Now, there's some that like to put on those kind of costumes and do those kind of things. It just never did appeal to me, but there are some that would do those kind of things. But Jesus said that the hypocrites are like whitewashed tombs, and that's what we looked at in Matthew 23rd chapter. The Bible teaches us to lay aside all hypocrisy as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted of the Lord, that the Lord is gracious. Our first duty as newborn children of God is to stop acting and start being true. Hypocrites just won't go to heaven. Matthew 24, beginning verse 48 and 49, he talks about that. But if that evil servant say in his heart, "My master's delay is coming," and begin to beat the fellow servants and to eat and drink with his with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at that hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, that there will be weeping, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we know that's going to take place where? In hell. You know, I've heard people say, it really doesn't matter. I can't make it to heaven anyway. And I'll just go on to hell, be done with it. Well, I'm not sure those people understand what they're saying. They have no idea what hell is like. A lot of people think it's just going to be for a short time and it'll be over. That's not going to be the case, folks. It's going to be eternal, forever. Never be done with it. That's right. It'll be suffer, pain and anguish. And it describes it in human terms. And we really don't know for sure what all it's going to be. But we don't want to go there. And we want to do everything we can to avoid that. Okay, as we move on here, the eternal makeover. He talks about the transformation God planned for us is not completed in this life. The Apostle John writes, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That's in 1 John 3 and verse 2. The key point is that we will be like Christ at that time. Those who will be going to heaven for eternity will be like him. And that's what we want to strive to be like as we end our life here on earth. We want to be like Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 49. "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." And we learn in Luke 20 and verse 35. Oh, thank you. I needed that. But those who are counted worthy to obtain that age and the resurrection. Get this thing cut off. I'm sorry. I didn't have that intended to call me that. I thought about a sermon one day to do that. Just let everybody know that they need to be shut off. Those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what did I do? Sorry, James. I did it. All right. As we continue on here, we're coming towards the end of the lesson. And as we try to encourage everyone to be conformed to the image of his son. We want to eagerly wait for the Savior to come back and look for him to come back at that time. In Philippians, the third chapter, in verse 20 and 21, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that we may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. We want to be like him, and we want to work at that in trying to be like him here on earth as best we can. Steve mentions that a song that Miley Cyrus sang, "Ain't About How Fast I Get There, Ain't About What's Waiting on the Other Side, It's the Climb." Well, I don't think that's right. I think it's what's on the other side is what we got to look for. You know, we've got to shoot for that goal when we know that that eternal place is waiting for you and for me if we are faithful children of God. The transformation we are undergoing now is but a prelude to our final eternal transformation. For when we reach the end of time, it is not the end of our existence, but the beginning of our true existence. He talks about C.S. Lewis writing a Chronicle of the Narnia. I think that's the way it's pronounced. "For us, this is the end of all stories. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life is this world had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story." That's what we want to look forward to, is that great story. I don't know if you kind of have thought about being in heaven. If you don't like to sing here, if you don't like to praise God here, heaven's not the place for you. I'm sorry. But we need to spend every moment of life that we have in some form or another bringing glory to God. Whether it's possessions we have that we can use to his glory, our finances that we have that we can promote the gospel in some way. That's the kind of thing that Jesus wants from us. He wants, and God wants from us, to give ourselves first, and then the things that we possess, we can use them to his glory as best as we can. In that great eternal story, we will finally and at last bear the image of the heavenly man and stand among many brethren who have been conformed to the image of God's Son for all eternity. What a thrill it will be to be standing there with those who have gone on before us. We've looked at some great men of the Bible in our lifetime and what great men they were. And we think about men who were like King David, who was a man after God's own heart. Think of Samuel and the prophets, Isaiah and Elijah. It's hard to imagine what it'll be like. Will I know them? I'm not sure. But every indication is that we may know those people. And we have to look forward to that. Our time is just about up. Steve had some questions, but I don't know that we've got time to go over them. What is the answer to the question, why are we here? And we need to think about that. You know, a lot of people have that question. Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Well, the Ephesian writer says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We want to be like him. We want to be sons, adopted sons of God. And the only way to do that is to conform to his will. It's about time for the class to be over, and I appreciate comments from all of you. And I'm sorry it turned out as like it did. It would have been much better if Steve had been here, but we muddled through it anyway. Appreciate your comments this morning.